Tonight, and I want to talk tonight about something that, as I read the text, and God just really pierced it on my heart tonight, is grow up. Just grow up. My daddy always told me something when I was a kid. I was out living my life and running pretty wild. He told me something. He said, son, if you ever make it over Foos Hill, you're going to have it made. I looked at him. I said, over Foos Hill? He said, yeah, but the problem is, I don't know if you're going to get over Foos Hill or not. You're doing a lot of stuff that's foolish. You're doing a lot of stuff that's, and his word was stupid, and it's going to cost you. And I didn't believe him, but now looking back, he was dead on the money right. Amen? Tonight, grow up spiritually tonight. Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 19, as we stand tonight in reverence to reading of God's word, I ask you to stand. Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 19, and the Bible says, and when he had received meat, that being Saul from last week, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with his disciples, with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name and on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Father, once again, as we bow in your presence tonight, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, I thank you that you put an itching in my life. I thank you that you put a longing in my life to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, I pray tonight that somebody gets something from this word tonight. I pray tonight that I decrease and you increase. I pray tonight, Father God, you hide me behind the cross. I pray tonight you guard my throat, guard my thoughts, everything that I would say. I pray it be all upstand, that they can grow spiritually in a mighty way. I pray tonight for the one that's been saved for a long time. I pray they can know tonight that they can always be growing in the Spirit, Lord God. We never reach the finish line. We never get to the place where we've grown all the way up. We're always growing in you, and I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless this reading. I pray tonight you touch this sermon tonight. We'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Grow up spiritually. As we come tonight and we study this word tonight in chapter number 19 through 22, the word of God says that Saul at this time, he is still Brother Saul. He's been saved. The scales has fell off his eyes, and he's come to this place, and it said that he's received meat and he's growing with strength. He's increasing in spiritual strength and power. And after meeting Jesus, this is what happens in a person's life. After being born again, we must increase. Get this tonight. After you've been born again, you must increase and grow spiritually. You must not decrease, but you must increase spiritually in your walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But my question to you tonight is this, as what Paul did here, is how do we grow spiritually in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How do we grow that way? Tonight, just being justified, just being set free, just being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, that won't grow you spiritually, but that'll save your soul. Hey, but tonight, I want you to know, once you get saved, there's something that comes on the inside. And number one tonight, can I say to you that when you get saved, if you want to grow spiritually, number one, he will give you a desire for the Word of God. Look what he says in verse number 19. I'm talking about a desire. I'm talking about a hunger. I'm talking about something that you can't get over and you want to eat on that Word. Look what the Bible says. And when he had received meat, there it is. He had received physical meat and he got to eating. And as he got to eating, he started getting stronger. And as he got stronger, look what the Bible says. He was strengthened. And then Saul was certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. I see number one tonight that he had a desire for the Word of God. He stayed with the disciples. He didn't go back to what he used to be. He didn't go back to the old crowd. He didn't go back to the old places. He didn't go back to persecuting people. Hey, but he went back to where the disciples was. He stayed with them disciples. He stayed with them men of God. Hey, can I say something to you tonight? If you've been born again and you've not been saved very long, you find you a man or a woman of God, and I say this tonight, very careful. If you're a man, don't you find you some woman, hey, to teach you the word of God. Hey, don't you get alone with a woman tonight. If you're a man tonight, you got no business of being around another woman. Can I get an amen? Hey, you find you a man of God to run with. You find you a man of God to stick with. You find you somebody that's going to feed your life. And on the same token tonight, if you're a woman in this place and you've been born again and you want to study the word of God and you want to learn the word of God and you want to run with Christian people, if you're a woman in this place, hey, don't you find yourself alone with some other man. Hey, tonight I want you to know, hey, if you're a woman tonight, you find you a woman to get with, you study, you embrace one another, you help one another. Hey, tonight it says that when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then Saul was certain days with the disciples. He stayed with the disciples. And if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2, I want to show you this in the text tonight. And I'm talking about he stayed with the disciples. You know one of the disciples he stayed with? He stayed with old Peter. He stayed with Peter. I'm talking about somebody that was strong in the faith. Somebody knew what it was to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hey, somebody knew what it was to call heaven down. Oh, Peter was one of them. He would deny Jesus one day. Hey, and he'd cut an ear off the next just to help Jesus. Hey, he was a fighter, but I want you to know he fought for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2, desire for the Word of God. He stayed with them disciples. He stayed with them men of God. He didn't get sideways. He didn't get off with the world, but he stayed by the stuff. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes. Hey, tonight I'm talking about newborn. I'm talking about one that would desire the sincere milk of the word. Look what he says. As newborn babes, there's that word, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Hey, tonight, if you want to grow and you want to grow spiritually tonight, you got to put a desire in your life. Hey, when somebody gets saved, as soon as they get saved, they have a hunger. They want more. They want to learn more. You let somebody rededicate their life, and the first thing they want to do, they want more. They want to learn more. They want to dig deeper. They want to get deeper. And if you're not careful, old Satan will come by, and that seed that's been planted in your life, he'll take that desire and try to remove it. Hey, but tonight, you get a desire for that word of God, and that's what old Saul did here. He had a desire, and he stuck by them disciples, the same ones he was wanting to persecute. Hey, the same ones he was wanting to kill. You know what he did? He started running with them. So number one, tonight I see in this text, you stay with each other. You stay by the disciples. You stay by the stuff. You say, preacher, what will it do if I have a desire for the word of God? And I stay with each other, and I stay with the disciples. What will it do? You will be strengthened when you're with other disciples. You'll be strengthened when you're with one another. Look in verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Where did he get that meat from? He got that meat from other disciples. He got that meat from other men and women of God. Hey, tonight, when you're strengthened by the disciples, why? Because they had the word. They had the word of life. They had Jesus. Hey, tonight, don't expect to be fed spiritually, hey, from people that are lost. They're not going to feed you. Hey, tonight, don't expect to be fed off the Reader's Digest. It's not going to feed you. Hey, don't expect to be fed tonight off of TV. It's not going to feed you. You said, preacher, what's going to feed me? The Word of God tonight, it will feed you. Amen. You said, when will it feed me? It'll feed you when you can't feed yourself. Hey, when you're helpless and you can't feed yourself, if you'll just read that word, it will feed you tonight. Hey, listen to this tonight. When he was strengthened by the disciples, number one, he stayed with the disciples. Number two, he was strengthened by them. He said, what did he do? He learned from them. Hey, when he come on the scene, he learned from them. He didn't say, if I was a preacher, I'd do it this way. Or if I was a Sunday school teacher, I would do it that way. Or if I was a deacon, I'd do it that way. You know what he knew? I've never been here before. I don't know a whole lot. And I'm going to get with somebody that knows more than I do. Can I get an amen? Amen? Sister Shannon's my doctor. If I go to her, I'm not going to tell her how to doctor me. What's wrong with y'all tonight? Come on. Would you go to the doctor and tell the doctor, now listen, this is really what's wrong with me. I just come to you because I need some medication. I can't get it without your... No. Listen to me tonight. Jesus Christ wrote this book. And he is the only one who got the authority to give you what you need out of this book. When he speaks through men of God, I want you to know he speaks through them in a way that you understand the word of God. He gives you what you need when you need it tonight. And I encourage you, if you're a man in this place and you don't have you a Peter in your life, you don't have you an Ananias in your life, you don't have you a young Timothy in your life, you don't have somebody you can pour into and they can pour in you tonight, I encourage you tonight that you find you somebody tonight that you can trust and they'll tell you the truth about the word of God. I understand they learn from them, but they also listen to them. He listened to everything that they had to say. Number one, he had a desire for the word of God. Look what he says here though. Number two, in verse number 20, not only did he have a desire for the word of God, but he delivered the word of God. Not only did he have that desire, but he delivered it. If I can tell you anything tonight, when you get hungry for the word of God and God feeds you with that book, he gives you that word, he implants it down into your heart and you start learning the word of God, don't get blown away when you start speaking the word of God. When he starts pumping it in you, don't get upset when you start letting it come out. Now, if it ain't put in, it's not going to come out. But what's put in is going to come out. Look at this tonight. Number one, he had a desire from the word of God. Number two, he delivered the word of God. Look in verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue. You said, what are you talking about? He delivered the word of God. He preached in the synagogue. There was a change in his life. He was going to the synagogue to persecute the Christians that was there. He was going against them. But because he started growing in Christ Jesus, immediately when he got saved, immediately he started growing. You know what he did? Instead of going to the synagogue to persecute him, he went to synagogue to preach to him. Instead of doing the persecution, now he's doing the preaching. Instead of doing the cussing, now he's doing talking about Jesus. Instead of drinking, now he ain't drinking. Instead of drugging, now he ain't drugging. Instead of quitting, now he ain't quitting. Instead of being on the road to Damascus, he's off the road. He's on the right way with Jesus. Tonight, if you've been born again, grow up spiritually, amen? Don't get caught up in things of this world. Don't look like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't walk with the world. Don't listen to the world. And number one, do not lean on the world. When you get in trouble, lean on God. Amen. Hey, tonight, I see this. He had a desire for the word. He delivered the word of God. He preached in the synagogue because he was changed, and he preached Jesus in the synagogue. When he went in, listen to me, he went in and he preached Jesus Christ. I love this tonight. And straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. You know what the dispute was? The dispute over every bit of this was this, that they was preaching Jesus and the synagogue didn't like Jesus. They didn't like that Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't like this Jesus that has come on the scene and tore the world upside down, flipped the world upside down. They didn't like it. Why? Because it was messing up their church. It was messing up their religion. It was messing up what they wanted to do. It was messing up their program. It was messing up the money they was getting. It was messing up how they lived life. It was messing up everything. Can I say to you tonight, when Jesus Christ comes in your life, he's going to mess you up. Okay. He messed me up. But guess what? I was already messed up before he come in. But what I thought was right, I was doing what everybody else was doing. Drinking, drugging, having fun, gambling, having the best time in the world, running with the crowd, doing whatever. I thought that was the way to live until I met Jesus. And then my desire changed. The things that I used to want to do, it changed. I mean, I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't have to think about it. When I got saved that night, there was something come over me, and it was the Holy Ghost. And all the way through the book of Acts, from Acts chapter number 1 to Acts chapter number 10, all you're going to see is people's been changed. And I'm worried about churches. I'm worried about Christians that call themselves Christians, but they don't have C-H-R-I-S-T nowhere in them. They call themselves Christian, but they don't have Christ nowhere in them. If you are a Christian, you have been changed. Your desires change. You hunger for the word. You hunger for righteousness. You hunger for what he has for you. You hunger to be around brothers and sisters of Christ. You hunger to go to church. Man, when I couldn't be here Sunday, I was climbing the walls, Brother Rodney. Not to just preach, just to be in the presence of God, to be here with y'all. Man, I went myself. I sat there, but I went myself. Brandy said, you go on Wednesday night. I said, if everybody's negative, I'm going to church. You said, no, you just go because you're preaching. Listen, I get paid if I come or if I don't come. Huh? I don't know the deal they worked out. I may be a state employee. I don't know. They was aggravating me a while ago about taking vacation days. I said, listen, I ain't took a vacation day yet. There were sick days. Come on now. I said, I ain't took a vacation. All that sick days. He said, what do you mean? I don't come here because I get paid. Listen to me. You know why I come here? Because somebody paid something for me, and his name's Jesus. He paid it all. Listen to me. His church didn't call. They called me to be their pastor, but they didn't call me to preach. They didn't save me. Listen, that desire don't come from this church. That desire comes from the relationship that I have with Christ Jesus. It's a desire, and when you get that inside of you, you want to deliver it. And here's what Saul told him. He said he went and preached Jesus. And if you'll turn with me right now to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, this is the same man that says, I want you to preach the word of God. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't play with it. He said, if you've been saved, there's been a change in your life. There's been a change. Look at with me this tonight. I love this tonight. 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter number 4 and verse number 2. Number one, he had a desire from the word of God. Man, he desired that word. He had to have it. It was just in him. But number two, he had to deliver the word of God. You hear somebody cussing, taking the Lord's name in vain, you can't turn an eye to it. You can't turn back. You got to talk about it. You got to tell them. When you know it ain't right, you got to stand for it. He delivered the word of God. He preached in the synagogue. He preached Jesus in the synagogue. And look, here's the same man I'm telling you right now. Here's what he told young Timothy. Paul, you said, did Paul grow up? Did Saul grow up? Did he stay the same old babe? Oh, no. One of the most powerful men in the word of God. He didn't stay where he was. And I look around this room tonight, and I see men and women of God that ain't where they used to be. Can I get amen? Ain't where I used to be, son. I ain't where I want to be, but I sure ain't where I used to be. You hear me? Hoo-wee. Look what he said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 2. The same man that had a desire delivered the word. Here's what he said. He told young Timothy, he said, preach the word. He said, this word, if you want to change tonight, you're going to notice this. You've got to have a desire for the word of God. And you've got to be able to take the word of God and let it be delivered to you tonight. It's going to be that word of God that's going to grow you in your spiritual walk. Any Christian tonight that gets saved never pick their Bible up, they're malnourished. They're malnourished. They're in trouble. I got a little boy at home. He's 12 months old. Fixing to be 13 months old. He can't stay on the bottle forever. Could you imagine him walking in here at 16-year-old with a bottle in his mouth? He wouldn't grow very much. What's he got to have? He's got to get off that milk eventually and get on the meat of the word. Look what he says tonight. Preach the word. Here's what he told him. The same man. Be instant. He said, I want you to be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said tonight, number one, he had a desire for the word. Number two, he delivered the word of God. Then when he delivered the word, if you go back to the text, in verse number 21, the people was amazed when he delivered the word of God. They'll never be delivered by your expertise. They'll never be delivered by your opinions. They'll never be astonished or blown away by what you think or what you do. But they will be blown away by this word of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? I mean, we got people in this church. When I tell them so-and-so goes over here, they say, are you kidding me? He teaches Sunday school. No, he don't teach. Yeah, he does teach Sunday school. You're kidding me. No, I ain't kidding you. I can't believe you let him teach Sunday school. I said, I don't let him teach Sunday school. God told him to teach Sunday school. He's teaching Sunday school. Huh? There's been a change. Man, let me give you this tonight. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? People were amazed. The change or spiritual growth in your life should be an amazement to all the folks you come in contact with. The desire for that word and the way you deliver it when you get around people, it ought to amaze everybody you talk to. They ought to think, man, I can't believe this. What's wrong with that boy? What's wrong with that lady? Something's different. There's a spiritual growth. You say, well, if I get saved, everybody will know it. When I get saved, everybody will know it. I'm just going to get saved. I ain't going to do nothing else. Nah, it won't shine that bright. You get in that word, it'll shine. It'll shine. You know what that word does? It polishes you. It puts a polish on you. You can wash your car all you want to. You can wash it and wash it and wash it and wash it. But you know what makes it, when you go down the road, everybody look at it and say, whoa, is when you put a polish on it. That word of God, number one, it gives you a desire. Number two, it gives you a deliverance. It gives you a polish tonight. But let me show you the third thing he did tonight. I want to share this with you. Number one, he had a desire. He growed up. He got a desire. Number two, he growed up. Spiritually, he wanted to deliver the word of God. He wanted to tell people about Jesus. But number three, he defended the word of God. He defended it. Now, I understand when you first get saved, you may not defend the word of God. Listen to me now. I'm not belittling nobody. But if you've been saved any time, you ought to defend the Word of God. You ought not just let anybody talk about it any way they want to. Well, it's going to cost me. It's going to cost you if you don't defend it. Well, I'm just going to hush, sit down, get in the corner, and just wait my time to get on out of here. It don't work that way. When you get saved, for you to grow spiritually and grow where God will have you to be, He puts a desire inside of you. Because that desire He puts inside of you, He wants you to deliver that word, and He wants you to defend it. He wants you to defend that word of God. He wants you to stand behind it. He wants you to be right where you need to be with Him tonight. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 22. Look at this tonight. But Saul increased the more in strength. And what did he do? He confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus. Here's that defending. Proving that this is very Christ. Tonight, to defend the word of God, that would be, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to walk with God. You're going to have to trust God, and you're going to have to rely on God, and I am too. To confound the Jews, here's what he did when he came and he spoke the word of God. Number one, he confused them. He confused them. They couldn't believe what was going on. What he was telling, they could not believe that there had been a change in his life that major. It stunned them. To confound them, it stunned them. It confused them, but it stunned them. Tonight, as a church, when somebody walks in them back doors, our speech, our talk, our walk, everything we do ought to stun anybody walks in that back door. A lost person that walks in that back door, you know what? When they walk in that back door, I pray to God they're never comfortable. Preacher, everybody's welcome. They are welcome. We get the sign that says everyone's welcome. Fix it, put up at the, everybody's welcome, but I don't want them to be comfortable. If you're lost going to hell, I don't want you to walk in here and just be able to get on in here as a goat and sit with the sheep and be comfortable and graze, have a good time. If you're lost and you're sitting in here, you ought not have a good time. You ought to be upset. You ought to be on fire. You ought to be something going on inside of you. Because the Word of God's going to do that in a person's life. You said, preacher, what do you mean? When they come in this place, we want them to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. I had a man on the phone with me today, and here's what he said. Hey, when you have a singing, let me know, I'll come back. I said, man, we sang every Sunday night and Wednesday. He said, I'm talking about a special singing. I don't like the preaching. Let me know when y'all going to have a singing. I thought I'll never let you know when we're going to have a singing. But I'll let you know we're going to preach Jesus. Why? Because singing ain't going to do to you what the preaching of the Word of God will do. You be careful with these new songs you see on these screens behind me. You be careful. When all they talk about is love, grace, mercy, and all they talk about that, you live any way you want to, and you're still going to. You watch them songs. You watch them. I'm telling you, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's that blood that'll put a desire in your heart. When you get away from that old hymnal, you better be careful. You better watch it. It's about the blood. It's about the blood tonight. It puts that desire. It puts that deliverance on your life. If you've ever been delivered, it's because the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know tonight, if there's one thing we got to defend, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't believe me? Listen to some of this new stuff. I know I'm old time. I know I ain't very old, but I know I'm old time. Oh, it's okay. I'm fine with that. But I know what saved my soul. I know what saved my soul. And I know that day I met him on August 27, 2007, a meth head dying, going to hell. I ain't supposed to be out of prison until this year. 20 years, Brother Matt, 20 years. You can't tell me nothing different. You can't tell me there's a new way, there's another way. You can't tell me that. I know what I was at that day when I was in that altar and I called on the name of the Lord. He said, preacher, what'd you see? All his love, his mercy, and his grace. Man, let me tell you something. When I got in that altar, I seen a God that was just. I didn't get in there and smack my bubble gum and do all them things in that altar. When I got in that altar, I got down on my knees and I asked God, if you be who they say you are, would you please have mercy on me? Save my soul. I'm going to hell and I need repentance. I need forgiveness. I need it in my life. I'll repent of anything I've ever done. Please save me. I can't keep living this way. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I want you to know that night he saved my soul. And I want you to know tonight, the world we live in, they're preaching a gospel. I want you to know it's a prosperity. It's an easy gospel. Christianity's easy. Everybody can do it. Just get saved and live. Listen to me tonight. If it's easy, everybody do it. If it's easy, everybody do it. Listen to me tonight. Being a Christian is not easy. Being a Christian is not easy. So what it cost you didn't cost me nothing. It cost him everything. But I want you to know when he saved me, he put a desire in my life. He put a deliverance on me to deliver that word even before I was called to preach. And he put something inside of me to defend that word, to defend that blood tonight. Listen to me tonight. When he came and Saul was preaching here and he was telling them, he had them messed up. You say, is that all that happened? Let me turn one more place tonight. I know we're running short of time, but let me turn there. Man, I get excited tonight, don't you? Man, I can't help it. If I had to stay another week, we'd preach 3 hours. If I had to stay quarantined up as anyone, man, it gets all over me. Started tonight, my throat was a little raspy. Man, get behind the sacred. There's power right here. I don't know what it is. I can't tell you. There's power right here. If I can climb in that baptistry, I'm healed. I can go in that baptistry sick, come out healed. I can stand here sick, and when I leave, I'll be healed. If I never get here, if I never get to the place, you say, you can do it at home. It's something about where two or three are gathered together in His name. It's not in my name. It's in His name. Listen to me tonight. That desire comes from Him. Let me get on. He said, walk with God, trust God, and rely on God. He confounded the Jews. But let me tell you this tonight. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter number 18 and verse number 28, not only did He confound them, not only did, man, they were shook up. They didn't know what to think, didn't know what to do. And I'm telling you what, I preach revivals in different places, and when I go in, I want you to know they don't know what to think. Most of them wouldn't allow, if you don't look like them, you're not allowed there. Let me say that. Can I say to you, if you don't fit in at a church, it's not a church. If you're a child of God, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you walk in and they look at you like you're an outcast, you don't belong there. And you better make sure it's a church. Uh-oh. Just saying. Saul didn't fit in. And Brother BJ don't want to fit in. But the things of this world, I don't want to fit in. I done that. It about cost me my life. Look at Acts 18, 28. My goodness. Verse 22, Saul confounded them. But in 18:28, he convinced them. What's the difference? Brother Eric Creed, what's the difference in Acts 9 and Acts 18? Nine chapters. He didn't quit. God's not looking for a shooting star. A shooting star shoots and it's gone, it's over with, burns up, ain't no kind. He's looking for somebody that's going to stick and going to stay and going to be faithful. He's not looking for a shooting star. He's not looking for somebody to be hot this year and cold for 10. He's not looking for that. And if you're going to get to the place that you grow spiritually and you show people that Jesus Christ is real, it won't be a blow-up revival and blow back down. It won't be a blow-through, blow-out. It'll be constant in your life every single day of your life. For nine chapters, Paul had come from the place where he confounded them to he convinced them. Folks, tonight I want you to know I've been saved for 15 years. And there's still people says, I'll give him time, he'll fall. 15 years. How many more years you got to go, Brother BJ, before you convince them? I ain't worried about convincing them. Huh? I want to stay faithful in what he's called me to do. I got an old preacher I listened to, Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith said he'd been at the church 12 years, been there 42 years, and said he'd been at that church 12 years. Said he started writing out his resignation on Monday morning. He wrote it out. I'm resigning the church. I'm sick and tired of it. I ain't going to stay. I'm getting out. Been there 12 years, signed it. If you got a preacher been there any time, in these days, that's a blessing. Son, they change about every 2 years. Wherever the money's the most, whatever excuse they got, they'll leave. Can I get a witness? Come and go, son, listen to me. This is the longest job I've ever had. I used to flip-flop jobs like you ain't seen. But see, I didn't choose this job. This job chose me. Hope I'm talking to somebody tonight. If you want to grow, man, number one, you better let God put that desire in your heart. You better let Him put that where you deliver that word. You say, wherever I go, I'm going to speak Jesus. And you defend it. Brother Smith said on that Monday morning, he wrote out his resignation, wrote it out. I resign, no longer be the pastor of this church. I quit. And said he told his wife, she said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to turn this in to the chairman of the deacon. He said, you know he ain't there. He's on vacation. He said, well, I'm going to the next deacon I see. They read it Wednesday night. So he went to walk out the door. He said, why don't you do me a favor before you walk out that door? He said, yeah. I said, well, you might as well, that little boy got saved last week. Write him a letter too and tell him it ain't worth it. That woman got healed of cancer. Write her a letter and tell her it ain't worth it. Tonight, if I give up and I quit, I might as well tell Brother Lee, it ain't worth it, son. And what we've been praying for, it ain't worth it. Throw it in and it's over with. Brother Austin, if I do it, I might as well tell you, go back doing what you want to do. If I tell you that tonight, listen to me. There's people watching you tonight. And for you to quit and throw in the towel and say, church ain't worth it, and it ain't worth what we're doing, and it's better out yonder. What kind of mess is that? It's worth it tonight. For nine chapters, he stuck with it, Brother Eric. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't get out. He convinced them that Jesus is the very Christ. And in my life, you know what I want to do? I want the world to know what he's done in my life is real. And if you're quitting every time you turn around, What is that showing the world? Said, you might as well write that little old lady that you said you was going to pray for, write her and tell her it ain't worth it too. I wonder tonight who's watched you quit so many times and you throwed out that word, it ain't worth it. Do you remember when Jesus in Mark chapter number 4, before he went to Mark, I don't know where this comes from, somebody. Before he come into Mark chapter number 5, do you remember this? He went and he healed the demon, the guy that was possessed with the demon there at Gennesaret. You remember that? But before he did, he come out there and he was coming. He constrained him to get in the ship. And they got in the ship and they got out in there and the storm started raging and it said it was a wind. And that wind got boisterous and it got blowing. And Jesus was asleep in the hinder part. That means he was at the lowest part of the ship. And it said there was a bunch of little ships out there with him, but he was in the big ship. And as I think about that tonight, I think about our brother Paul here, how many little ships was watching him. Tonight, you know what Jesus did? He got up and he commanded the wind and the sea to obey him, and it hushed. And you know what I think about tonight? I think about how many mamas and daddies is in this place. And tonight, I want you to know, in your here, you may not think you're much. Where you work, you may not think you're much. You may not think you do much where you're at. But I want you to know you got little biddians at home and little bitty babies at home. And they're them little ships that are watching you. And you're that big ship. And when that storm comes, they're watching who you call on. They're watching on who's going to give you that desire. They're watching on who's going to deliver you. They're going to watch how you defend the Word of God. And I want you to know, there's a lot of little ships watching me, and there's a lot of little ships watching you. And when you get to the place and you say it ain't worth it, I might as well give up, get out, and get over it. Listen to me tonight, there's somebody watching you tonight. You said, Brother BJ, ain't nobody watching that. That's a lie from hell. You listen to me tonight, somebody's watching you tonight, and they're watching how you live your Christian life. They're watching you tonight. They was watching Paul, and they're watching you, and they're watching me. Don't you give up. You keep going, keep doing what God's called you to do. Do not give in. Because somebody's going to be convinced by the way you live your life. Let me show you this in the text and we're going to move on. Somebody's going to be convinced about that tonight. I love this tonight. Look what he says. He says this in Acts chapter number 18 and verse 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures. Whew, how am I going to grow by the scriptures? Publicly showed them by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. That Jesus was Christ. He defended the word of God, and Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He showed them by the scriptures. To grow spiritually, we must have to rely on the word of God. You said, preacher, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm saved, I'm good, I'm going to do it on my own. What if I told you tonight you can't do nothing? You can't do nothing. Listen to me, I got a degree. You ain't got nothing. Oh, preacher, you ain't got nothing. We coming down way over yonder, 45. Running 80 mile an hour in the church van the other night. I know that's not good speed limit. No kids on the van, nothing but adults. Spirit of God all in that van. I told Brother Eric, I said, hold the wheel, son. He said, what are you doing? No, we wasn't. Yeah, we were. Well, anyway, we was over somewhere. I said, hold the wheel. He said, what you going to do? Last time we did that, I was texting my wife. I loved her. He said, listen, can you not tell her that when you get home? Come on, man. We run 80 mile an hour. I said, hold the wheel. I got something I got to show you. He grabbed the wheel. I said, we cut the light on the interior. We just come out of there and 5 people been saved. 2 people in our group that went with us. Listen, left this church to go minister, rededicated their life. Brother Roy Parker and Heath Butler, they rededicated. They went to minister and got ministered too. There's people in this church tonight probably need to rededicate their life. There's times in my life I got to get to the place, even as a pastor, I say, woe is me, Lord God, help me. I can't do nothing without you. The devil will make you think, though, you can do it. You got the degree, everybody, you got everybody food, and everything you're doing is good. What about if I told you tonight you can't do nothing? You can't do nothing. You can't be the daddy you need to be without Jesus. You can't be the mama, the momo. You can't be the pastor. You can't be the deacon. You can't be nothing. What if I told you that tonight? Turn with me, if you will, to John 15:5. You say, oh, I can do some things. No, you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. If you're going to grow, you can't do it on your own. Boy, I don't know what it is about it tonight. Boy, Spirit's good in here. You can't do nothing. See, for so many years, I thought I could do it on my own. I got into trouble, I'd get out on my own. If I got broke, I'd work enough to get it on my own, whatever I need to do. Can't do nothing without him. Turn him away and let him draw that air out of them lungs. You're dead. It ain't yours. It ain't yours tonight. You've been bought with a price. All I hear is eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. Everybody in this room's got eternal life. The lost man's got eternal life. The saved man's, everybody in this room's got eternal life. You're going to live eternally somewhere. Eternally in hell or eternally in heaven, you're going to live eternal somewhere. John 15:5, closing, growing spiritually. He said, preacher, I want to grow. You got to do it. You got to have him. Can't do it without him. I am the vine. John 15:5, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, talking about Jesus, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Read this with me. For without me, ye can do nothing. Well, I can do a little bit now. Preacher, I'm going to keep doing it on my own. No, you ain't going to get by. You ain't going to get by. Preacher, I tell you what. I'm going to run off my own desire. It won't work. You won't grow. You can't get hungry enough to read the Word of God. You can't get enough hunger inside of you to read the Word of God. You got to ask God to give you that hunger, give you that desire. Lord God, when you get saved, man, you desire that. You ask him for that. You receive that desire that he puts in your life, that you may grow hereby. You won't deliver it at your workplace without him. You'll cower down, you'll shut your mouth, and you'll get in the corner. And when you leave, you'll say, God, I wished I'd opened my mouth. I wished I'd have said something. You won't defend the Word of God without him. So, preacher, how do you know that? I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching about me. Without him, I can do nothing. And Apostle Paul, here's what he said. He said, number one, he confounded them. He shook them up, man. He didn't preach in his own wisdom, his own power, and his own might, but he preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. And he told me, he said, man, I'm telling you, this don't fit right with everybody, but this is the Word. And he convinced them that there had been a change. Tonight, my question is this. Have you grown so much spiritually that you can convince people that knows you that you've been born again? Is there enough on your life tonight? Just saying you're saved is not enough to convince them. No, it's not enough. There got to be some in your life, that growing process that shows, hey, I have changed. I have been saved. I've been set free. I'm not who I used to be. So many times in the world we get in, people get caught up leaning on the wrong thing and not leaning on God. They try to do it on their own. They try to do it on what they know, how they... If you want to put a pen and paper on God and add him up, you're never going to come out. You're not going to add him up. You're not going to subtract him down. You can't multiply him. You can't divide. You can't do... He's just God. You can't uplift him enough. He's too big to be uplifted. All you can do is best you can. Just praise his name. You can't do nothing with him. You can't do nothing without him. Tonight, my question to you is this. Have you grown spiritually since you've been born again? I thank God tonight. There's people in this place. I look around this room. I see them growing. I see them growing in their life. Before I started growing any, I'd want every shade of doctrine that come by, every place, everything that the wind blew, I'd want to get in on it. But as I got reading that word, I realized my opinion don't count. That book counts. That word counts. And there's people tonight, you know and I know, that are still on the milk of the word and they need to get on the meat. If I'm talking to you tonight, get off the milk. Get on the meat. You say, nobody knows I'm... Don't you kid yourself. They'll know right where you at. It don't take long. It don't take long. I pray tonight you grow spiritually. Pray tonight you got a desire in your life. I pray as you go to your workplace tomorrow, you deliver that word, you share that word with people. I pray when you defend that word, you stand with it, man. I'm telling you what, and I've told Brother Eric this many times, I told y'all, if you'll stand by the God of that book, the God of that book will stand by you. There's never been a time I have stood on that word, he didn't stand right there with me. He does that in my life, he'll do that in your life. Pray tonight you have a good week. I pray tonight you, when you walk out of this place, yeah, there's enough evidence in my life that there's been a change. Been set free, amen, by the word of God. Father, we love you, and Father, we thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you so much for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you tonight for the change that you put in our life. I thank you tonight, Father God, that we can grow in you and we don't have to still be the same. Lord God, I can't help who grows and who don't grow. All I can worry about is myself tonight. That's who I have to worry about tonight, that I grow in your word, grow in your spirit, grow in your knowledge tonight. Lord God, tonight you don't want us to always be babes, but you want us to grow up and be a soldier for the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord God, tonight as a soldier, we must not give up and get out. We've got a task before us tonight. And Lord God, tonight as the world's getting darker, your light's getting a lot brighter. And Lord God, I thank you tonight that you are the light of the world. Bless this group tonight. Touch them tonight. Help them tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight you have your will and way. In Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people say, amen. You are dismissed.